So start when you met.
All right, now.
When Maury and I met?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was in the service, and he was stationed at Lunkin Airport. And Lunkin Airport was the airport just outside of Cincinnati.
It was in Ohio, though. It wasn't the Kentucky one they got now.
No.
Okay.
No, it was Ohio. And he worked out there at in the hangars.
Oh, really?
And I worked as a civil service employee.
Okay.
And I worked downtown.
So you worked for the war effort too then, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
For a
long time. And that was a point was where they shipped the soldiers overseas.
Really?
They shipped them into Lunkin Airport and processed them, and then they shipped them overseas. And Maury worked in the finance office there.
Okay.
And I worked in the finance office downtown.
Okay.
That's how come we got met. And there was a couple that kept wanting Maury and I to get together. And he kept pushing and pushing and pushing. And of course we had dances out to Lunkin Airport. And that's where Maury and I met, is at Lunkin Airport at the dances.
Okay.
And then later on, why they kept insisting that I meet Maury. And so I finally met him, and then they finally talked us into dating. And then there was also my girlfriend, Kay, and she was going out with how can I tell you? Oh, my cousin, Jack.
Okay.
And so we got to double dating.
Okay.
And but when I first started going with Maury, why, I wasn't interested in having going on dates, but they kept insisting that I do. And it was when I first met Maury, why I didn't want to get dated, but anyway, I got this whack insist up on me dating Maury.
Tell me.
And
one. So they knew him, and they knew he'd probably be a good match for you.
Uh huh. And
what'd your parents think? I mean, did they worry about you dating some guy from Michigan?
No, they didn't.
Or a soldier or anything, or I guess.
No, my dad was working in Indianapolis then.
Okay.
So my mom was the only one at home. But
so that was quite a drive for your dad if he had to go back and forth once in a while, right?
He went back and forth every weekend.
Oh my goodness.
Until,
but he had a good job in Indy, didn't he? Was he working at the, I think it was like a arts or craft? American Art
Clay Company.
In Clay Company. So they made crayons too.
Crayons. And the big thing was they made chalk, you know, for bowling. Remember when they had chalk around there?
Yep.
They made chalk there. They brought clay in from Georgia.
Goodness.
And
what position did your dad have there? He had a good job, didn't he?
Yeah, he was over all of it.
Wow.
He was a manager. And he went to a convention in Indianapolis, and he met Mr. Philpott, who owned the place.
Okay.
And he became real familiar with him, and Philpott really took him under his arm. And so anyway, when they went to this convention, Mr. Philpott told him that if he ever wanted a job, he said, "You just let me know."
Wow.
And so Dad did, because he figured he could make more money there.
Sure. And what was your dad doing before that?
He worked in a company where they made ink.
Okay. Kind of a little bit related to supplies and art.
Yeah.
So he knew how to manage, and he was good at that, probably, wasn't he?
And I guess he really impressed Mr. Philpott, because Philpott told him that if he wanted a job, all he had to do was apply for it.
Goodness.
And so I wrote the letter. Dad told me that if I'd write a letter for him, he would give me a month's rent free.
All right.
Pretty good.
And so I did. And he said if he got the job. And he did get the job. And Philpott really liked him. And he put him in as a manager right away.
Wow.
And
well, your dad must have really impressed, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Isn't that nice that you could present yourself that impressively, that, you know, they know right away that you're a good person?
Yeah. And
did you know shorthand and all that before you went to Flint, or where did you learn your skills? Did you know that already?
High school.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
That's all right. That'll pick it up.
I wanted to put my blanket.
Go ahead and get it arranged the way you want it. That's good.
I want a single.
Oh, okay. Barbara, why don't you make it a single?
Okay.
There you go.
Not too warm, huh?
Well, that's kind of a fleece. You know, that's a good warm one anyway.
Yeah, that is a nice one.
Yeah.
There you go. Let's throw that on there.
Yeah, and I went up to Indianapolis and worked for 3 months, but I worked for a guy in an insurance company, and Gertrude, remember her?
Okay.
It was her boss, and oh my God, he was terrible. He'd dictate. And when he'd dictate these great big long names. And he knew I couldn't spell them.
He was just a jerk, huh?
Yeah, he was. He was a well-known guy anyway. He got so I got so frustrated because I didn't have any trouble in Cincinnati.
Yep.
But I did with him, and I got frustrated, and so I went back to Cincinnati.
Okay.
And
you can thank him then for going back to Cincinnati to meet Johnny.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for that jerk, you would have stayed in Indy.
Yeah. And when I went back to Cincinnati, why they wanted me to, they tried to connect me with Maury, and to begin with, when it came to the service, why we went into a bar one night, and instead of Maury calling Maury, he called him Howard. And so I asked Maury about it, and he says, you never tell a soldier's name.
Really?
And yeah, and so then your mother and dad were on their way to Florida one time, and I think Mamie and Sam were with them too. But anyway, they were at a hotel, and they wanted me to come over there so they could meet me. Mm-hmm. So I went over there, and they started calling him Johnny. And so there's two names right there.
So you don't know who you were dating?
No. And then they, this one girl called him something else. And so I thought, holy Hannah, why do I want to get connected to him? And, but eventually we drifted toward each other. And
it must have been tough though, because at the end of the war, or whenever he'd get released or reassigned, then how would you ever stay in contact?
Yeah. Well, to begin with, his eyes were bad. So they didn't move him.
Okay.
They just left him right where he was. And not only that, how many men take shorthand?
Okay.
And Maury went a lot on I can't think of the name of where they have big conferences on airplane.
Okay, he was
accidents.
Okay.
And
really, so he got to go out and be one of the recorder for that.
Yeah.
And when there was like around the U.S. or?
All over.
Really? Did he get to go to Europe at all or not really?
No.
But it was like any problems in the U.S.?
Uh-huh. Any?
Like an investigation.
Right. That's what it was.
Oh my goodness. So he'd have to go out when they were going to investigate a plane crash or something?
Crash.
Oh my.
And so that's.
So he'd have to write up all the paperwork.
Uh-huh.
And so once he took the shorthand or whatever, he'd have to type all that up.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Yeah. He did a good job, I guess, because they kept him on. And
he worked right at the air base?
Uh-huh. He handed out the money to the soldiers that were going out overseas.
Wow. It's ironic because I in-processed people that were coming in from different places, and he out-processed them.
Uh-huh.
So we had a very similar job.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
He was lucky too, because a lot of those guys probably never came back, did they? Or they went to Europe somewhere, and God knows what happened to them.
Oh yeah. true. Mm. Yeah, you never know. And that was during the bad time, too, over in Europe.
Was he drafted, or do you think he enlisted, or how did that work?
No, he was drafted.
Yep.
And
so he lucked out getting a good job like that.
Yeah, well.
And he earned it because he was had skills.
Yeah, he had good skills, and they couldn't ship him overseas because of his eyes. Mm. So he got a good job out of it.
I remember he had glasses, but I don't remember anything. They weren't that thick or anything, were they?
No, they weren't real thick, but they were thicker than mine.
Okay.
And
had he gone to any school before he got drafted, or was this right?
Oh, yeah.
He'd went to Baker's Business College,
so
right?
So he already got that.
So he knew business. I mean, he'd gotten some.
Okay. He graduated from Baker.
He did.
Okay.
And Aunt Flora paid for his tuition, and then after he got out of service, why we got married, why we paid her back for.
And she ended up living with you too.
Upstairs.
In Chevrolet Avenue.
Uh huh. Yeah.
Nine eighteen.
Uh-huh. Yep. Uh huh. And we had an apartment upstairs. And that's why we bought the house, is because it had an apartment upstairs.
You know, wasn't that nice that you did that? Because where would those, I mean, back then there weren't that many places for single, you know, ladies and, you know, to live.
No,
And so you gave, you know, you really cared for them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we cared for them.
Now, were they able to get around okay, and did they... Yeah, they made their own meals and they did everything.
Yeah, they fixed their own meals and everything.
Now, and Flora, she'd gotten married, right? Where Belle was a, which one was a was an old maid?
Aunt Belle.
Aunt Belle never married.
No, because she was hard of hearing. And back then, they called it
deaf and dumb. Was she okay, though? I mean, was she smart enough that she get around?
Oh, yeah.
She just couldn't hear very well.
Yeah. And
think of if she'd have had a hearing aid, that could have changed her life, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
That would have changed her life completely. She could have gone to school and...
She was probably just as smart as anybody. She just couldn't hear the teacher.
Yeah. She used to... when we used to go to... these place like New Year's Eve, and we'd go to those parties, and back then you'd put articles in the paper, and Aunt Belle used to pick our name out of the paper. She was that smart.
Okay.
So
could she lip read, or they didn't sign language that back then, did they? Like they would now.
No, but she talked.
But she, I bet she could read lips, so.
Yeah, she.
She probably had to.
Yeah, she did all right on stuff like that. And
now, was Aunt Flora a widow when she came to live with you guys?
Yeah.
She lost her husband.
Yeah. And. That's why she came to live upstairs. We've made a place for her, so Maury wanted to make sure that he paid her back, and it took us a year to do it.
Yeah, but then she lived with you, right? I mean, that was nice of you to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, we got along good, and... The only thing is when we got Leanne, she said, "Well, I see you're getting rid of the old for the new." And
she was jealous.
Yeah. And the next thing we knew, She got on the bus and went downtown.
Oh, no.
And got lay on a blanket.
Oh.
And, they really enjoyed
it. So they spoiled her. They turned it around, and it was like, we could spoil her, too.
Yeah. And,
isn't that nice?
Yeah, and she used to, when Leanne was little, why, she'd, Aunt Flora would yell down, send Leanne up. And Leanne would crawl up the steps. And she'd sit on the Davenport up there. And Aunt Flora had an oatmeal box, and it had different little trinkets in it that she had there in the condo or in the apartment.
Yep.
And she'd lay in and sit on the Davenport, and they'd play with it for the longest time.
And so she gained a couple grandparents.
Yeah.
Wasn't that nice?
She did. She enjoyed Leanne as well.
Now, could they babysit? Would you trust them enough to babysit if you wanted to go out? Or you didn't really go to that much.
No, No, we wouldn't do that. Because neither one of them were stable enough.
Okay.
But
and I know you had real good neighbors there, Tom and the Imes, was it?
Tom and...
I'm trying to think of her name, and I can't think of it. But they were your next-door neighbors there on Chevrolet Avenue. And they...
Oh, yeah.
We saw them a lot. They just came right in the back door. I mean, they were like almost like relatives.
Oh, yeah. They came in, and they took care of Leanne, too, when... like when Sam died,
mm-hmm.
and we found out right away.
Yep.
And we just took her, Leanne, over there and popped her down.
Wow.
And we took off for Lansing.
Wow.
So.
He died suddenly too, didn't he? I mean, was it like a heart attack or something?
Yeah. He died of a heart attack. Down at their beauty shop.
Okay.
And. Yeah.
I've researched his family too. He came from northern Michigan. Did you know that?
No.
I know all his family up there. He came from a real rural little town, probably south of Traverse City a ways. Huh. And, he grew up on a farm, and there's a the road is named after his real name. He shortened his real name to Kriegel.
Yeah.
But it was a real long name, probably with a ski on the end of it or something.
Uh-huh.
And he was one of them in the family that he referred himself as Kriegel, but he may never have legally changed it. I don't think he did.
I doubt it.
But you know, back now that you know, you could just sign something and. People wouldn't, computers wouldn't know the difference. There was no computers.
Uh-huh.
So,
yeah, I almost think he was Jewish. Because when he died, they had a Jewish funeral.
They did, okay.
And
that was his second marriage, too.
Yeah.
And there's a question of whether there was a child from the first marriage.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I think I tried to find it and I couldn't, so maybe it wasn't, you know.
I don't think it was. I think they thought it was, but I don't think.
Yeah, I did a little research and usually you'd have found something, but then that's fine, you know, whatever.
Who started that? They both worked there. Sam and Mamie worked at a beauty shop or whatever downtown.
Strand Beauty.
So did one person start it first or?
Sam had it first.
He had it first and then she came to work there?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, when she graduated from beauty college, why, she started working there.
I think my parents lived on Avenue C.
Right.
You knew that. No, you probably were well involved with that.
Yeah.
Maybe stayed there.
Yeah, but we lived there for a year.
In 1940, my parents had the apartment, must have been upstairs at Avenue C.
That's where we stayed.
But the tenants, in 1940, the tenants was a man and his wife, and she was a beauty operator. She worked in a beauty parlor, and they had a little 9-month-old baby, and then the guy's brother lived with him. So there was 4 of them in that apartment, a little baby and then 2-3 adults. And I think the men might have worked at the auto factory.
Probably.
But she worked in a beauty shop.
Uh-huh.
So I'm wondering if that's how come Mamie had the idea of working in a beauty shop or becoming a beauty operator. But she went to school in Flint for that, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know whether that influenced her or not. But
could be. That's just one of the things people got into, you know?
Uh-huh. I don't know. I never heard of her working anyplace other than the beauty shop.
Yep.
So after she went to the school in Flint, did that immediately went to Lansing, or did she work in Flint first, or do you know, or not?
I don't.
Because we really didn't have any other relatives in Lansing, did we? I mean, that I know.
No.
So she must have found heard of a job there and went.
Well, I think she got connected to him.
I know I finally found out how Uncle Melvin met Vi.
Oh, really?
As it turned out that Vi was working in the like a cafeteria at Hurley Hospital, and so was Aunt Marguerite.
Oh, I didn't
know
that.
I'm thinking Aunt Marguerite and Vi were both working in this cafeteria, and Aunt Marguerite says, I got a brother, Melvin. I got a brother I'd like you to meet. And so I'm thinking that's how they got together.
Uh-huh.
So.
Yeah, probably.
It's always interesting to find out how people make connections.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going back in my life, and I'm trying to contact people that had made a difference in my life.
Uh-huh.
And I know there was a guy that I knew in Flint, and he said I'd gone to Michigan State, and then I came back to community college, and this one guy says, hey, he's going to Western Michigan in engineering. Why don't you come along? And so he gave me the idea, and so that's how I went to Kalamazoo, to Western Michigan. And then when we were going to graduate from college, he was looking around for businesses. And he says, I'm going to interview with GTE, the telephone company, tomorrow. And the guy says, I could bring a friend if I wanted.
Uh-huh.
I never heard of GTE. I thought everything was Bell Telephone.
Uh-huh.
So I rode along, and I went, and then I'm the guy that got the job at GTE, and he's the guy, you know, he went with Detroit Edison.
Oh.
So he made a big difference in, you know, because of him, it determined where I was going to go to college and also where I'd end up working. And he lives in Port Huron now, and I've contacted him, and I'm trying to get together with him. He's a little hard to get together with, but I'd like to just meet him again and meet him for lunch.
Uh-huh.
And it turned out when we went to Kalamazoo, he was one of my roommates.
Oh.
So, I mean, he had a big influence in my life. So.
Uh-huh. But you haven't seen him for years.
I haven't seen him. I talked to him on the phone, and I says, I got to get together with you, and
he's been pretty busy. He was helping one of his sons has a farm, and so he was doing a lot of.
He was doing some of that, and so I. But
so we haven't had.
I'd love to get together with him again. He already knows that I'm real thankful for having. He just happened to mention this stuff, but it made a big difference in my life.
Uh-huh.
And I worked for this one guy at GTE, and at the time I was offered a really good job in Dallas. And my boss had set me up with an interview at Dallas, and it was like a 4-level promotion. Oh, my God. And I went for the interview, and I guess it went okay, and I was kind of reluctant. I didn't really want to move to Dallas. And she said something. She said, well, where your kids go to high school, that's where they're going to settle. And I thought, I don't want my kids to be Texans. And so this one guy I was working for, I says, what do I do? My manager had set up this interview. He says, just don't take it. So I called the guy that interviewed me, and he says, well, if you let me know before Monday, I'll pull your name.
Uh-huh.
And so I called him up, and it was at the time her mother had had a stroke. So I says, this is not a good time for me to be moving. And I use that as my excuse. It's like, you know, we got medical problems in the family, and I just don't want to, shouldn't move at this time.
Uh-huh.
You know, I love the job. You know, I kind of praise it like it'd be a great job for me, but I says, I don't think I should be moving now.
Uh-huh.
He says, all right, I'll take your name out. And then I found out later that he would have given me the job. So it's like, whew. So this one guy, I gotta thank him for telling me that, you know, you could turn it down, just turn it down. And I didn't think I could, because, you know, corporations, when you're given a chance of a promotion, you're really not supposed to turn it down. You know what I mean?
Oh no, you don't.
And once you do that, you'll be branded. So that was a close call. So I almost had to go to Dallas. So. I owe that guy a lunch too. So
when you got married in Flint, and then at that point, did you move up to Flint right after you were married? Or
did you live with my parents for a while, or what was the deal on that? Did you live in Flint at all before you got married?
No, we visited.
Okay.
Every weekend, we would go. To Flint. Maury and I would take the bus.
Really?
Out of Cincinnati.
Oh, my goodness.
And we rode all night long to Flint.
Oh, my goodness.
And we did that for quite a while. And then he interviewed for a job in Flint at the bank, and so he ended up doing that, and
me answer.
Yep.
And
he was out of the army by then, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So where was that first job that he interviewed for?
At Citizens Bank.
Okay.
And he got the job.
He started right there.
He was kind of like me. He worked for one company.
Uh-huh.
All his career.
Yeah.
People don't do that anymore.
No, they don't.
No.
So how many years from that time till he finally retired from there? How many years did he work at Citizens Bank?
Gee, I don't remember.
Okay.
Long time.
Yeah, but he did leave the bank, and he went to a loan company.
All right.
And he worked there for several months, and he didn't like it, so he went back to the bank, and the bank took him back.
I always heard that there's a story, is he was working in repossessions or something, and that there was one incident where he went to collect for something and a woman threw an iron at him. You ever hear that story?
No.
I just seemed like someone told me that one time.
Was it a woman?
I don't know. It was a woman that threw the iron, so that part was believable.
She was shopping for an iron.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know it got vicious where you were repossessing stuff. I mean,
he worked.
That's tough.
He worked on repossessions.
He did. Okay. Well, then
for a while,
there was something to that story.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure there was.
I mean, people don't like to have to lose something that they're behind in their payments.
Uh-huh.
It'd be pretty much just cars, perhaps.
I don't know.
No,
you got.
You can repossess furniture.
Trailers
or anything. I mean, people bought stuff on time, probably. Are we in your way here?
Oh God, no.
And I know you probably don't want to hear of it, but we don't care what, you know, if you have nice paper plates, that would be okay too.
Oh no.
You don't have any.
Break a few plates.
You don't have any leftover from the Prowler get together? No.
So he got a job there at Citizens. So when did you get your first job at GM? Was it right at that time or later?
Yeah.
Right then.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
In fact, I got an interview and I didn't know how to get to downtown Flint. So I had to wait until Maury had lunch hour and he came out and picked me up and took me down to the unemployment.
You got it through the unemployment office of all the places.
Yeah. Back then they had.
Of course, you knew shorthand and all that, so you probably had a pretty good resume, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't want somebody that didn't know how to type or couldn't take shorthand.
No.
So you had a break there.
They hired me right away in the steno pool.
Okay.
They had
steno. Was that where did you hire in at? Where was your first? You weren't out to Audubon. You were at.
No, I was downtown.
Chevy in the Hole.
Yeah.
In the Hole.
Oh. Wow.
In the Hole.
Up on the hill a little, right? Or not?
No, I was down in the Hole.
You really were down at the lowest part.
Part.
Uh-huh. Oh my.
Yeah.
And a steno pool, so you never knew who you were going to have to get dictation from.
Well, yeah, because there was just a few of the fellows that dictated. There's some, later on, there was some that I transferred out of the steno pool out into the plant. And I was secretary to one of the fellows out there.
Susie Woofter's dad, weren't you?
Uh-huh.
So you saw Chevrolets being made, probably. You were close to the assembly line a little bit, where you could look out and see the assembly line?
Yeah.
Really?
Isn't that fascinating? I love to go through auto factories and watch them. I mean, it's just something about, you know.
You know, you're going to be down here in March, aren't you?
Yeah.
Well, you don't probably want to do this. But we're going, I'm not sponsoring, but I have a bus trip planned.
Oh.
I planned it. Mm-hmm. And
where are you going?
I'm going to tell you.
All right.
To Jacksonville.
Okay.
Did you know there's tunnels under Jacksonville?
I've heard of that.
We're
going to
do the tunnels. We're going to do a.
There's a robot factory.
Yeah, I know that too. We couldn't get into that this time. We're going to do the tunnels. We're going to do a historical drive around. We're going to have lunch. And we're going to go to the Budweiser factory.
All right.
Are you interested?
I'll probably pass because we got a lot. Well, no, we got
when
a lot going on.
Date?
Is Bravo.
The 20th of March.
Yeah, we got Jen's coming down for a week. And we're right in the thick of things there. But
Yeah, I bet. Is it like a Monday maybe or
Wednesday?
Oh, Wednesday. I don't know.
Where are you taking the bus out of here or where?
Seabird Island.
Oh.
From where I am.
Jeez. Aren't we convenient for ourselves, huh?
Hey, I'm the one that planned it. Hey. I think that's the least that I can.
You know, one time we were going to redo the offices, our cubicles at work, and I got assigned to be the guy that designed who gets what.
There you
and
go.
You'd be stupid not to design yourself a good office, is the way I looked at it.
Yeah.
I mean, if it can't be much bigger than the rest, at least it could have a better location.
Thank you.
Hello?
And then you wonder why you got let
go. And there's only so many windows, you know what I mean?